Berlin was officially declared the capital of reunited Germany 10 years ago, though the government and parliament didn't move in until 2000. By then, the old, divided city was hardly recognizable. The wall had been torn down, apart from a few bits mothballed as grim reminders. New apartments and office buildings had sprung up on almost every available patch of land. The Reichstag building had been renovated to house the new parliament, and the new Central Railroad Station was under construction for the new millennium.
But all this came at a price. To be precise, $46 billion. As a result, Berlin is effectively bankrupt. Max Easterman spent a week in Berlin finding out what brought this city to the brink of financial ruin.
On the surface, Berlin is a city busy rebuilding and reinventing itself. And from here, in front of the Reichstag, you can see much of that going on. Just to the south and Potsdamer Platz, the cranes tower over a huge new commercial development, the Biesheim Center. But under the surface, indeed right under my feet where I'm standing on the corner of Konrad Adenauer Street, are signs that all is not well in Berlin. This was supposed to be the new subway station for the Reichstag. Well, the station's there, but the line that would connect it to the subway system has not been built. When the new city government took office, it realized it couldn't afford to add millions more dollars debt to the $46 billion it already owes. So it cancelled the project.
The difference between receipts and expenditures is about $5 billion. So the public debt will increase for the next years to come in Berlin.
Victor Steiner is an expert on Berlin's economy at the German Institute for Economic Research. He says the seeds of the present crisis were sown decades ago when Germany decided to make West Berlin a showcase for capitalism.
Before unification, Berlin got huge subsidies from West Germany, and so public services developed, which were dependent on these huge subsidies. They were overmanned and are still overmanned, so expenditures were extremely high compared to other regions or other cities. There was a subsidy for employees just because they lived here in Berlin. And so, in effect, there was no budget constraint for the state of Berlin before unification.
So it was spend, 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 and Berliners got accustomed to price hikes and wage hikes whenever the occasion demanded. But not anymore. Behind me, the city's taxi drivers are demonstrating because they've been told they can't raise their fares. They say high taxes and regulations are strangling their business. It's another sign that Berlin and Berliners can't make ends meet. So I shall have to walk the half mile or so to the nearest subway station to go to find the man many people claim landed Berlin in this mess, former Christian Democrat governing mayor Eberhard Diepgen.
With coming down of the wall, we have to build up a new economic structure. And my responsibility, and I think that was the right decision, was that we tried to build up. We believe in growing. And with this aim, we invest. That's the reason, very simple.
Much of Berlin's debt comes from the public housing sector. Billions of dollars were loaned in the 1990s to build apartment blocks, and the city underwrote contracts that guaranteed upwards of $20 rent per square meter. But real rents turned out to be nearer $5. The city has to make up the difference. And so many apartments were built that the market collapsed, and with it went Bankgesellschaft, Berlin's biggest bank. The city was forced to take it over. That was another $3 billion on the bill. And there are now over 100,000 empty apartments in the city. So the ones being built here, just across the road from me on the Oranienburger Straße, are likely to remain empty for a good few years yet. The Bankgesellschaft scandal forced Mayor Diepgen to resign. A leading member of his Christian Democrat Party, Klaus Landowski, was also chairman of the major lending arm of the bank. There was enough of the scent of corruption to bring down the entire CDU Social Democrat governing coalition. But Mr. Diepgen remains defiant.
It's not my responsibility and it's not my task to explain all that. Christian Democratic Union is not responsible as a party for what happened and what was the decisions in the bank. I was not involved in that. I have not this responsibility.
So that was the responsibility that of Mr. Landowski.
One and only in one part. We tried merging some of the banks in Berlin owned by the city to build up this new bank system. And that was optimistic.
Mr. Dietken's optimism wasn't shared by all the other members of his party. Throughout the 90s, there was a group of younger Christian Democrats who tried to challenge his policies, but without success. They believe that's why the party's now in opposition. And I'm on my way to meet one of those young Turks, now its finance spokesman, Nicholas Zimmer.
The time of manipulating the balance sheet in Berlin has come to an end.
But you agree that there was manipulation under the previous administration?
Manipulation, yes, of course. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody gives somebody something, and you get something in return, and everything works fine. Like a banana republic. I think that's a picture you can use. And that is, I think, a problem we had in Berlin under Eberhard Diepgen. They were not checking the way it is done. So politics in Berlin were not corrupt, but they were on the border. And the CDU has a good part to be done, clearing their own history.
You can see the impact of Berlin's crippling debt burden wherever you go in the city. It can't afford to spend any money. I'm walking at the moment through Steglitz, which is a leafy suburb in the west of the city. I've just passed on my right here a lovely little park with a lake surrounded by weeping willow trees, but the grass hasn't been cut for weeks by the look of it. The road here is lined with trees, but underneath them the sidewalks are covered in weeds. The whole place looks as if it could do with a really good clean-up. The spending cuts Berlin's already brought in are hitting even harder where I'm now going, the working-class area of Wedding. I have a meeting with Sven Frier. He's a youth worker. His voluntary organisation, the Falcons, has been around for nearly 100 years, but the cuts are now biting deep and threatening its very survival.
Our community bus, the money is stopped by October. For the counselling and conflict service, the money is cut in this year, and further cuts are taking place in the beginning of the next year and continue. And also in the last 3 years, we had to close 3 of our centres in the local areas of Berlin. They also, and this is a really hard and unbelievable part of it, they cut the money for the activities for children to go away for a weekend and as well the money for the summer camps. If we put all the cuts together, we are cut for 56% of our last fund.
And it's going to get a lot worse for everybody. The new city government took office 9 months ago. It's a so-called Red-Red coalition, Social Democrats, SPD and PDS. They're the successors to the communists. SPD Senator Tilo Sarrazin is the man charged with sorting out the budget, and he knows it's going to be a very tricky job.
Up to now, I have not made public proposals, because nearly every proposal will produce a storm of public anger. So the basket of different cuts will have to contain some cuts in public housing, cuts in social welfare, in the size of the police force, possibly cuts in education. I don't know yet. Then also some cuts in culture.
Now, you'd have thought that budget cuts would be anathema to the communist PDS, the junior partner in the coalition. But the financial crisis in Berlin is so deep that even they know they have to administer some nasty medicine. Karl Wechselberg is the PDS budget spokesman. He's one of the new breed of young Berlin politicians who's prepared to tell people what they don't want to hear.
The problem is that what we have to do doesn't have a lot to do with left-wing politics. We have a situation where there are demonstrations against this government. That's nothing that a left-wing politician wants and likes. But in Berlin, you have to tell people that certain expenses we are used to cannot be afforded anymore. Because if we don't do that now, within a couple of years, we will intensify the crisis that the city is in. And if that takes the ability to live with demonstrations and opposition to that, we will have to do that.
Demonstrations there will certainly be. The trades unions claim most of Berlin's public services are understaffed as well as underfunded. Cuts, they say, will cripple the city. The finance senator Thilo Sarrazin brushes the claim aside.
What is the meaning of crippling? If people have their homes, if they have work, and if the basic public services can be maintained, then there will be a life in the city.
But it will be a life without luxuries.
That's quite right. It will be a life in a Volkswagen Golf rather than at a Mercedes sedan. This is right.
Berlin's city government, Berliners themselves, are in a jam. The debt's now so big that it can't be paid off by the city on its own. And this is, after all, the federal capital. Everyone's saying the same thing now. The federal government should start paying its way here. Technically, Berlin is bankrupt. If it were to default, a crisis would turn into a full-scale disaster. And Federal Chancellor Schröder knows it. Sooner or later, he'll have to dig deep and pay up. For Common Ground, this is Max Easterman in Berlin, Germany.